the money pitching. There's the money pitching device right there. Yeah, still have the dollar.
Yeah. You should put a little cup by your Drobo. little money jar by your Drobo.
I just used it.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I just use a napkin.
Right. Whatever works. So I'll set that. I'll just set it by the Drobo there.
Right. Yeah.
So that's all I have left. It's Mike. That's what you said, right? That's all I have left. Or Rich.
Yeah.
You, right?
That's what I said. Yeah.
After you buying the Drobo.
You know, I went to Titan Mine today with these.
Yeah.
And I thought I'm having real tight with my hands, but then when I used this, it really got tight.
Right.
So it doesn't move at all now.
So you don't want to swivel at all this way?
It actually does. It's the I guess the screw now.
Oh, I guess swivel. It does. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to find out the
Oh, but right your mic won't go this way, right? It won't swing up, right?
Yeah.
Is what you're talking. Oh, it still does.
Do you find this fascinating,
that's,
Greg?
That's this.
Oh, that's this one. Yeah, all right, I got it.
I'm just hoping I got the mic working. I'll get there.
Not yet.
Greg, is yours a USB or is it mini jacks?
Mini jack.
Okay.
Yes. I'm wondering if it's... See, but I've got a mic on the camera, too.
Yeah. Right. That's you could go into your Windows settings.
Yeah, that's where I probably need to make the change then.
Yeah. Google Hangouts are still pretty finicky when it comes to devices. I had all kinds of problems last weekend with, you know, both laptops only have a headphone jack, and they force you into the microphone. And so I had a Plantronics, like a splitter that would do headphones and microphone, because I've got the jacks. My headset, like yours, has got, you know, two microphone and a earpiece jack. And man, that just Google Hangouts had fits with that last week. It just would not let me select what I wanted. Skype did great. I mean, when I tested it, we tested it on Skype and it worked fantastic, but Google wanted to do something different. So gave me some problems.
I'm hoping my video cleans up a little bit as soon as I finish producing this the show. I'm right now I have my computer cranking out the large format of the video.
Oh, nice.
So it's using up almost 100% of the CPU.
Mike, how do you like that pop filter? Rich gave a thumbs up. I'm looking for two thumbs up.
You know, this is better than what I had before. And I don't know how Rich is doing it, but I have the cable now stringing through the the shock filter. So I have it coming through there because it's a little flimsy. You know, if you've got it just hanging there, it'll start to fall down. So coming through here gives it a little more strength. It doesn't have as far to bend. And I got it. It's on there pretty good now. At least that's what I've run into. Now, Rich.
Now, Rich, what were you telling?
You have yours wrapped around the side. So let's see if I can show you mine.
Okay.
So it's around the bottom, and then it comes through right here.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And I didn't put it through there because I didn't want it to touch the inner ring.
Yeah, it's not touching inner ring. Mine's touching outer ring. I guess it could touch the inner ring if I moved it wrong. But this way, it's pretty strong, and I can move it down, move it back up, and it stays pretty much where I want it.
Okay. Mine is not so you see mine came over the top.
That's, yeah, yours looks good.
Mine's over the top. I tried a few different ways, and this was the way that it didn't start, you know, dropping down, drooping down. So
I think you just got to keep trying different ways that fit for you.
Yeah. So I got mine mounted at around maybe 9 o'clock if I'm looking at it from the mic side. I got mounted 9 o'clock facing toward the back, and then it just comes around.
Now, you've got a different camera angle for us today. You've got a side view or something. And so we got your old stand for your Yeti back there.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a Canon WD-40 or something?
It is, in case, yeah. This is virtualization oil. I'm going to have to spray some in my Zen server. That won't work. That is so lame. I cannot believe that I can't get a Zen server to crank up. It gets so far into the installation, I hit, you know, okay, New York, you know, for my time zone, and, you know.
Where does it finally crap out at?
I don't really know. It just kind of gets so far, and it just stops.
Does that motherboard allow virtualization?
Well, I know the CPU does. It doesn't support VTD. but it does support virtualization.
The CPU. What about the motherboard?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's well, you know, I think, you know, for what you may want to consider, since you, what you're trying to do is pfSense, is just use pfSense all by itself.
Yeah.
At least until you get more comfortable with pfSense or something like that. I think, you know, virtualizing it makes it, adds a level of complexity.
Okay.
And the reason I virtualized it was because I had a box for pfSense and a box for Untangle, and I wanted them to be one box. And now there's a lot of advantage to virtualization because I have probably four variations of pfSense that I can flip in and out of pretty easily. But if you just want to have one and you don't want to play with it like that, then
yeah,
it's just, yeah,
yeah,
then don't bother with the virtualization.
Well, okay. I never did get as far as getting it completely installed and able to get to the interface. How do you get to the interface?
Of Zen Server?
Of pfSense.
Well, let's say you're installing it all by itself without virtualization.
Yep.
You would need a monitor connected to it while you're doing the installation.
Okay, I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a monitor there. You go through it. And it looks like old DOS screens, basically.
Yeah.
You run through that. You do the installation. Then the rest of your management is from another computer where you log into it from a web browser.
And what is that address?
Well,
because
it
didn't work.
Well, I had mine set up as, you know, 192.168.1.1, whatever you set it up as. When you're doing the installation, I think you set it up that way.
Okay, maybe I'm dreaming, but I thought it said to type in http://DHCP.
So when you're doing pfSense, it was saying to serve to an address called DHCP?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, well, okay. I don't know. I don't remember. It's kind of a blur.
Well, I think I wrote an article on how to install pfSense.
Well, I started looking through it, but things started flying apart over here. was it the Super Router article on the Home Server Show forums?
It was.
That got about 4,000 hits.
I don't know how many hits it got, but yes, it's the one article I wrote. I have the second version of that. Probably about 80% done, but I can't bring myself to spend time to work on that and not on my own show.
I see.
So yeah. It's
what happens when you start your own podcast,
I know. And I really feel bad about that. What I need to do is just push through all that stuff, but there's always too much to do. But anyway, that first article does walk you through the installation.
I see. Yeah. At what point does it walk you through? Because I was kind of scanning through there quickly to see if I could find something. Because you start off the article saying, here's my Untangle dashboard, and then here's my pfSense dashboard.
I need to look back through it, but I thought that first article didn't even get into the – it might have touched at the beginning on the theory, but actual the whole rest of the thing was just about installing pfSense as if it was on its own, not with the Super Router. Because what number two is, because this is supposed to be a four-part series. Mm-hmm. Number two was going to be how to set up pfSense. You got it installed. Now all the different things you can do to set it up.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that one.
Oh, Jim, you're not even there yet.
I'm not even close.
Yeah, you don't even have it installed, do you?
Don't act like that's what's holding you back.
Hey, Jay. Can you hear us? Jay, just pipe in when you get your mic working. Yeah, I have not had, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get any time soon to get those things configured. I still need to switch over to 2011. So,
what?
I have not fired up my virtual. You know, I've got 2011 virtual, a couple different instances of it. I don't think I've fired those things up in 3 weeks. I mean, I just haven't. I've been here. So
yeah.
It's been tough to.
That's a good excuse. Good excuse.
Yeah, I've been podcasting from all over the place, but not.
Yeah.
Not from. I really wish I could have made that work last week better. I learned some things, so.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Next time. Yeah, next time. I won't go to a loud, noisy Starbucks. That's the. God, that was just obnoxious.
So I just my show just finished producing, and what I'm trying to do, I'm playing with. It's trying to get the file size down because the file was getting as big as 700 meg on the large format.
Yowza. So, you know how big Leo's are?
Jeez. Yeah, Leo's are somewhere around 300.
Okay.
But his is for three 350, but that's for a full 2 hours. Mine are generally an hour and 20 minutes. So okay. I did another test, and this run was 320 meg. So that's,
oh, nice.
That's getting better. And yeah, that's in a large format. You know, I do two formats, large and small.
Right, right. Your network's going to take over everybody's.
Well, as far as file size goes.
Yeah. Well, Jay, we hear it like a rushing wind. Do we hear you coming into the stream? Exactly.
Is that any better or no?
Well, we can hear you.
See, these are the new headsets. See?
Yeah.
New headsets.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
It's the $20 version from Walmart, like you said.
Nice. Oh, nice. Yes. Nice. Well, I just bought a pair and had those shipped to a friend because she would not get – she kept giving me excuses. And I'm like, look, you just need a headset. And right. So I just bought her a pair. Probably that same – what's the brand on that?
I think it's Logitech.
Oh.
Real Logitech, huh?
It's the H150. I still have the box.
Oh, is it USB? Bad.
Yes, it sure is.
Okay.
That's actually, now that you're in and stabilized, the sound's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yes. See, before you join these things, you should check to make sure everything's up and running before you just click yes. So the sound that you heard earlier was going through the Microsoft webcam that I have.
Oh, right.
Got it.
Greg was having that same problem when he came in, and now we've lost him.
Yeah, he's probably going out to try and fix it. I don't think he ever fixed it, did he? We lost Jim, so he's got his wife talking to him.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. So, Jay, what's up? What have you been up to?
Well, a lot, actually. Gosh, do you want personal or do you want work? Because it's very busy.
Okay. Well, what's going on personally?
Today I ran the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. Where is it? Right there.
I see that. Yeah.
And tech-wise around here, my daughter's PC died 2 weeks ago, so I thought that it was a motherboard because the power supply is getting power, but nothing turns on. So I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So instead of troubleshooting and messing around with that, because it's one of those store-bought HP ones from Costco, I just bought her a new laptop. You know, forget it. I don't have time.
She likes you. How old is she?
She's 16.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's her Christmas / graduation present. She graduates this year, so.
What'd you get her?
You know, it's an HP. It's a i3, I believe it is. I'll look it up real fast.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got 6 gigs of RAM and it's a dual core, I believe.
Well, that's probably a lot better than her laptop. I mean, her old desktop.
Well, you know, actually, the old desktop was a quad-core AMD that had 8 gig of RAM because, you know, it was mine. Ooh. Yes. See?
So it was a hand-me-down. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well, then you got to get that thing working again, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely need it. So there you go. Oh, here it is. It's the HP G6X. Like you said, it's a dual-core. It's a 2.4 gigahertz, so it's fine. 6 gigs of RAM. That's fine.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah, so far she did some Skyping on it. She did some Photoshop. You know, just normal teenage stuff. So it's good. It's real good. A few weeks ago we were talking about virtualization with VMware and stuff like that. Rich, you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, since then, it'll be 2 weeks this Tuesday. So 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, I passed my VCP, which is a VMware Certified Professional Test. And so there you go. So I'm
certified. Congratulations, man.
Very good. Thank you.
Good. We're going to be pounding on you for all kinds of information.
That's scary. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's not something I actually enjoyed doing. It was tough. Very tough test. To me, anyway. So, you know, it's not your standard Microsoft tests, which are different all on their own. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm playing around right now trying to figure out what I want to use for virtualization. I've got Hyper-V working on this little tiny low-powered computer over here, and it mm-hmm. worked fine. I got it up and running. I tried to use VMware's ESXi,
mm-hmm.
and it apparently needs a lot more of a computer to even get going, because I'm struggling with that same computer. Now, granted, I should never have even installed Hyper-V on that thing. It's a I shouldn't keep telling people this, but it's got 2 gigabyte of memory in it.
Two gigabyte of memory.
Oh, well, that's yeah. So I'll tell you, ESX needs a minimum of 2 gig to install.
Yeah. Okay.
So hey, there's John.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. Hey, how's it going?
Good. All right.
Got a headset.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sound
wow.
better.
You know, peer pressure. You know. Rears its ugly head.
Absolutely.
Jay knows that feeling.
Yes, I sure do.
Yep. We sent him running to the store, Walmart, to get the $20 microphone.
Hey, it works.
Yeah, it works.
Sounds pretty
good.
Yeah,
it does. Work. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
John, what are you sporting there? What'd you pick up?
It's a Logitech. It was a special on Newegg, regular price, $35, but I could get it for $20 plus free shipping, so I figured, what the heck? And it had all kinds of great reviews, so, you know, when you get good reviews on Newegg, it must be good.
That
I say that
good.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it sounds good.
You know, Jim, you should have a icon or something for your recorder. Instead of a blank black square, you could have, you know, name your computer and have it listed up there or something.
What do you mean?
You got a computer on to record,
mm-hmm.
and so you have like
yeah,
a blank space.
Yeah, I see
so,
what you're saying.
So like if you could give that a picture, maybe have like a name for it or something.
How would you do that?
Hmm.
Of course, JPL Tim, he would put the Cylon 7.
I haven't heard from Tim DeLeo in forever.
He's not on the show anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still on BYOB. He just hasn't been as active. I think he's had other things going on.
Yeah, we had an ongoing Battlestar Galactica discussion, and 7 is his favorite Cylon.
I'll bite. What's a Cylon?
What's a Cylon?
Are you serious?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I have to go. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh,
come on. Come on.
It's like asking, what is a PC?
What's a PC? Right.
Then next, you're going to say you don't know who Colonel O'Neill is.
Oh. That's funny.
You know who Colonel O'Neill, or ultimately General O'Neill, right?
Rich doesn't know.
Rich? General, who are you talking about?
Okay.
I have no idea now if you're really pulling my leg.
He started out as
something else I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he started out as a colonel.
Colonel and ended as a general. Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So
what
about,
I saw
Captain
O'Neil.
Samantha Connor. Captain Samantha
no,
Connor.
He's not going to know. He's not going to know that if he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. But I saw. Well, you know who MacGyver is, don't you?
Yeah, duct tape guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's Colonel O'Neill. Yeah, I saw him in Vancouver a few years ago.
He's Colonel O'Neill now?
No, he's a general.
Well, he's a general. Yeah.
He's on some other show now. Now he's made it onto
my coward. I'm going to get you, man.
It's Stargate SG-1.
I don't know what Stargate is. I mean, I know what it is. I've never watched it though.
Oh God.
Oh jeez.
Jim is going to send you. Jim's going to send you the whole box set.
Oh, great.
That'll
Rich,
be great.
My family has, we've watched that entire, we've watched the entire series, 10 years, 220 episodes.
You know, this is one of those things where I knew if I asked, I'd be,
so you probably don't know about, so you don't know about Stargate Universe either, huh?
Oh, heck no.
Is that thing still on?
Do I have to
know?
No,
I'll
tell you
what.
They
canceled it this last season.
Yeah, don't tell me any more about it. You're going to spoil it for me. let's just drop it here. Don't tell me anymore.
You got 10 years of episodes to catch up.
I'll add it to my Netflix queue while we're doing the show.
I think that's why people got Media Smart servers was to be able to load up all these episodes on.
That's what Jim did. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who's the new virtualization professional here? Oh, Jay Moore is a new virtual professional.
I can do that.
So what VMware products do you guys mostly work with?
vSphere, you know, runs everything. And then everything
else. That's the management
yes.
software?
Yes. We are just now beginning what's called Vue or virtual desktop. And so you can connect to that thing with your iPad, or you can bring your own PC. You can connect to it through SSL VPN from home. It's really a cool product so far. We did a proof of concept along with a desktop guy. He and I built the entire infrastructure just for the proof of concept. And of course, as soon as the vice presidents get a hold of it, they're all in love with it, because you know they can walk around with their iPads and actually work on XP or a Windows 7 desktop. So they're all about that stuff.
So they like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're looking at you like, let's give this guy a raise.
Yeah, so I can buy more stuff, right?
Very cool. Well, so what do you think of, let's just throw out this question. What do you think of ESXi or VMware versus Hyper-V? What is your opinion?
Well,
why would I want to go with one over the other, maybe?
Yeah. Okay, so from a business sense, when you have an ESX cluster, right, which is three hosts or so, whenever you use that piece that's called vMotion, right, which is taking a VM from one host and seamlessly moving it from there to another host so that you can bring host A down. So Microsoft's version doesn't have that. They've never had that. They claim to have something similar, but that's dealing with Microsoft clustering, so that's not quite the same.
Okay, but I should have been more specific. I mean, as a home user, why would I choose one over the other?
Well, don't forget the third option.
What's the third option?
Is Zen Server.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, you guys hash it out for me. Tell me why I should choose one over the other.
Well, all right.
I'll be back in 30. Bye.
Yeah, nice. No, bye, yeah. For me, it's just a knowledge base, honestly. I just know the product.
What you know.
Right, and it works fine. Hyper-V is definitely more lenient as far as hardware, as opposed to VMware ESXi, or ESX rather, or both. If their specs don't match their HCL, their hardware compatibility list, then it's just not going to run. You know, you get a big old nasty purple screen, and it looks pretty bad. So, you know, for a home user, I still go Hyper-V. It's a little bit more forgiving. I've never messed with Zen Server, only because I just don't have time to learn two or three products.
Well, let me throw it over to Mike then. Contrast Hyper-V with Zen Server.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
Well, when I ran, set up my first super router, I was going to go ESXi, and it would not run on the hardware I had. Like Jay was just saying, it didn't like my onboard NIC cards. Mm-hmm. So I decided, all right, let me try this other thing that probably is not nearly as good as Zen Server. And I installed it. It went just fine. Not one problem. It recognized the motherboard NIC cards. And I think I had like a Netgear NIC card too. And it recognized those and worked just fine. I've since moved to Intel NIC cards on everything. So probably I could go back to ESXi. Now, when I wanted to set up a Hyper-V server, because I wanted to test out the new Windows 2011 home server, I decided to set up a Hyper-V, but I used the full 2008 R2. And from that standpoint, I like it. I like using that for Windows products. I have found it's much easier to set up a Linux computer on Zen Server than it is on Hyper-V. Hmm. And there's some other things I like about Zen Server too. Like if I want to make a backup or a snapshot or something like that of a VM, it's really easy to back it up to an external drive or to take a snapshot. I think it's easier to do that on Zen Server than it was on Hyper-V. I think on Hyper-V, I had to like shut the whole thing down to do it. Where on Zen Server, I could take one that's running and back it up. And I've done it before where I've backed these things up. I've had the hard drive fail on the Zen Server, just reinstall Zen Server, bring back the VMs that are backed up, and everything's back up and running.
You know? Okay, so what do you think of the idea of maybe running your main PC in some kind of virtualization? What do you think of the idea of like buying a big old fat old i7 2600K system?
I think it depends on what you're going to do, because along those same lines, I did something similar. I have my 16-year-old son, wanted a second computer because he was playing his online game and he wanted to have two characters in there. So he said, Dad, you got all these extra parts. Let me build another computer and then I can use that one. And I said, why don't we do this? I've got room on my Hyper-V server because it's a AMD 6-core with 16 gig of RAM. I said, I'll just create you a Windows 7 Ultimate, you know, VM on there. You can VM into that and use that. So this is a game that didn't require a lot of graphics. It was an online thing. And he'll set that thing up and running and have it in the background. And, you know, that ends up to be a faster CPU. I've got dynamic memory running on that, so if he needs a little more memory, you can have that. And it's not meaning another PC is running. It's running on a PC that's already there. So for that purpose, I think it works good. Maybe a few other things like that. But for me, since I'm going to be running Lightroom and Photoshop and some intensive stuff, I want to have a local machine that's not virtualized.
Okay. All right.
Well, maybe Jay can...
You're not telling me if you would actually do it yourself. Do you think you'd do it for yourself, or is it something you're comfortable like passing out to your kid, giving your kid a virtualized desktop?
They play some localized games that are pretty intensive. So for them, for their main PC, no, that wouldn't work for them either. Yeah. I have a virtual machine on that Hyper-V server too that I keep open all the time, Windows 7 Ultimate machine, that I just have some things open that I use and want always open. But again, my main PC is just using intensive local resources. I don't want that virtualized. But maybe Jay can... He's the expert.
I just use it, you know, at home for testing. Everyone else has their own PCs and stuff. And I have two daughters, so neither one of them are into gaming. It's just me, so they don't care.
But I think what Rich, you're saying is create a huge VM. Well, there's no Rich.
I'm here.
Oh.
I'm still here. I'm just – go ahead. Keep going.
Yep. Whatever the picture.
Well, that's fantastic.
So is Mike comes into view. Yeah. He's being attacked by the mic.
Help! Somebody call 911.
The mic decided it didn't need Rich.
Skynet's starting at Mike's place.
Bomb, No, I'm starting up my XP machine, running on this crappy little machine, so I can Google Plus in and record the show. From my end, I want to try that this week. So go ahead, keep going. Oh.
Okay, so Rich, you were asking though, would you set up a massive virtual server and have your main PC be a VM on that thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
To what end? What?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I know I want to do some virtualization. I guess, you know, I'm kind of getting it. Organize in my mind what I want to do. I mean, I definitely want to do the router, PFSense router, because I think I have problems periodically due to this little Netgear router I've got up here. It'd also be nice to have, when I want to do some testing, you know, like we all do, different machines, I could install it on that server. And then I was thinking, well, if you're going to do that, you're probably going to have to spend some money to get yourself a decent machine. And then I thought, well, if you get a decent machine, well, then you probably ought to move over to it. You know, if you go buy yourself an i7 2600K and then you deck it out with all the, you know, the good motherboard and, you know, the RAM you need and whatnot. It's just an idea. I was just thinking about, like, maybe I would just move right over and even put my desktop on there.
See, what you need to do is go to the full Fauché and buy two of those. One for your server, your Hyper-V server,
exactly.
And one for your main PC.
I like the way you keep these running themes going. Excellent. Keep going.
Just two of them?
Yeah, one for the Hyper-V server for testing, and the other one for your main PC, so you don't feel like the power PC's over there doing who knows what. And you got
You need an i7 for your home server, plus another i7 for your HTPC, and then...
That may be a little overkill for those two machines.
No, what I was thinking for myself was to use just an HTPC with an i3 2120. That's what I have right now. It was 16 gig and running VirtualBox on that. And then I've been running some test systems on top of that. And that seems to be working, at least for me now, fairly well. Lost somebody. Rich's second box just came online. Hopefully, macro.
Wow. We are going to blow this show up if at all possible.
I mean, yeah. I have a virtual box on my i7, but
I mean, that thing sucks up electricity, whereas my i3, I've seen it running at about 39 watts.
Yeah.
So you could leave that on 24/7.
I leave everything on 24/7.
Yes.
Don't mind me, I'm a little distracted.
Rich, I love the fact that your second box is in black and white, too.
Yeah.
And the great photo there.
Thank you. It took a lot of shots, different poses. I thought I'd go with that one.
Yeah.
It looks very professional.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, it does. Thank you.
I'm glad you chose the fully clothed version.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we all are.
All right, let's see here. What am I not doing? Oh, let's record this thing. All right. Oh, don't mind me. I'm just setting up.
He said record. Everyone be quiet.
Yeah. Yes, yes. All right, let's see. Is it working? Oh, it's working.
So, okay. Mike, what's the hardware configuration on your virtual boxes?
On the Hyper-V server, I've got AMD 6-core with 16 gig of RAM. And that one works pretty good. I'll have anywhere from 6 to 8, maybe even 10 VMs running using dynamic memory. And they do pretty good. On the Zen server...
What's the hardware configuration on...
Wait, what's happening?
Oh, we're getting some echo. Rich, make sure that you've muted the second box that you're bringing in.
Yeah, because it sounded like you just asked me my question.
I know. It was maybe it was a wormhole.
Yeah.
Okay. I went back in time for a minute. Well, I don't see your other box yet.
I got it. It's at the bottom.
It's in there.
Oh, you know what? I don't...
It's the Rich O'Neill doing his best impression of Blue Steel.
All these references.
I don't think anybody got that reference. It's from Zoolander.
Okay.
Yeah. Zoolander is dynamite.
Yeah. That's my Zoolander pose right there, for sure.
So what's your mic with the AMD? What's that? Have you put a kilowatt on that? You know what it's running?
You know, I have. So you want me to tell you about the whole little stand I have there?
Yeah.
I have a thing I got from Home Depot, just a regular wire stand. And I have the Hyper-V server, which is what I just told you about, the 6-core, 16 gig. I have the Windows storage server, which I think is a quad-core AMD with 8 gig of RAM. And the reason it's so beefy is because I have SharePoint and SQL server running on it. Then I have the Zen server, which right now really is only running pfSense. And that thing is, I think it's a quad-core AMD also with 4 gig of RAM, if I'm not mistaken. Then I have the big box, the Norco 4020, running Unraid with 11 disks in it. And all of that is hooked up to two UPSs. Then that's hooked up to a kilowatt. And... yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at it recently.
It'd be interesting to know.
But that's a lot of gear, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can, you know, I think you can run, John, to your comment, I think you can run pretty good virtualization off these Core i3s without, you know, I wouldn't run more than maybe 4 at a time. But, you know,
yeah,
Core i3 with 16 gig of RAM, and you'd be able to get at least 3 or 4 good VMs. I don't know, Jay, any...
I got 3 running simultaneously right now.
Right. On a Core i3?
On a Core i3.
Okay. Yeah.
Jay, any
recommendations on that, Jay?
No, that would work fine. I'm, you know, for my PC, my main PC anyway, it's a quad core Intel 2.6 with only 8 gig of RAM. And, you know, I can run 3 or 4 machines, but to Rich's point, I guess it was Rich, you know, you just have to decide what you're going to use it for. You know, if it's for playing around or testing, running VM workstation on my PC is fine. So,
yeah. Jay, do you find that the limit is generally RAM and not CPU?
Absolutely, absolutely. Even at work, RAM is a huge, huge issue at work. You know, so our blades at work have, some have 128 gig, others have 96.
Yeah, so if you're going to skimp on something, it's probably better to skimp on a CPU than the RAM.
Yes.
Max out your RAM.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. But a very close second is a disk. You know, I mean, you start dropping a few, you know, IOPS in there and stuff just goes out the window. So.
Right.
So if I were going to build a, because I've been contemplating building just a VM box, and it would be just dedicated VM 2011, some other things. The first, what you're saying, the first recommendation is get as much RAM, and RAM is super cheap right now too. So 16 gig is like $85, right? So,
right.
And then from a hard drive standpoint, I/O is the next point of contention, right? In this right. equation.
Yes.
If I were going to go with the Core i3. And maybe buy a board that could be upgraded to a 5 or a 7 later on down the line if I needed to. So then what's the best, for virtualization, what's the best I.O. configuration I could hope for?
RAID?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the question is, you know, what do you want? You know, if you're worried about, you know, speed, it would be, you know, RAID 0, of course, but then... You know, but then you run the risk of losing stuff if a drive goes down, and that's fine. You know, but we all do backups at home, right? So it's
well,
fine.
But well, I wouldn't necessarily be adding this VM server into my home server backup routine, so to speak.
What?
So,
well, no.
Right.
No.
So
yeah, I built it on top of the HTPC, and I used a 2 terabyte Western Digital Black for my drive, and I'm getting really good speed with that.
Just one drive is what you're saying, John.
Right, but then I'm not doing a lot of, I'm just testing things right now.
Like one at a time? Testing things one at a time? You don't have a couple of things going on at the same
time? No, I have three. I have three virtuals running at the same time, but they don't have a lot of data in them right now. You know, I have it in an HTPC box, so it's hard to add to it, but, you know.
Like what do you have running? What do you have running when you say you've got three VMs running at the same time? What are they?
Windows Host Server version 1, 2011, and Small Business Server Essentials.
Okay. So they're just kind of sitting there idling. You're not necessarily accessing them or streaming from them.
I'm playing around. What I do is I come onto my main PC that's got my i7, and I have virtual, like Windows 8, and have other... virtual windows in there, and then I use those different virtuals as different clients to the virtual servers. And then the bottom or the base of my HTPC is actually a Win 7 Pro, and I have Windows Media Center running on that, and it's recording things and updating and doing all of its stuff too. It's tied into an HD Home Run, which is recording TV programs and stuff. And with all that stuff running, I haven't noticed any issues.
Okay. All right.
But then it's not like like you commented. It's not like I have terabytes of data on each server.
Well, I wasn't thinking so much about
around.
I wasn't thinking so much of the space you might be taking up. I was thinking more like the I/O, disk I/O, like one machine doing some disk writes and another machine trying to do it at the same time. That would be a It could be a problem for one or
the
other.
I've had them all. I've gone down and, like, if I had the machine turned off for a few hours, I would go down, turn it on, bring up all the virtuals, and have them do a Windows update all at the same time. And while they're pulling, you know, they're each pulling all their crap down from Microsoft and updating.
Yeah.
And that went
pretty
well.
All right. Yeah, that's probably not going to be a problem, though, right?
What I have is I have a mix of RAID 5 with the OSs on RAID 5 and a couple of VMs on that RAID 5. But most of the VMs are on RAID 0 on that same Hyper-V box. And all those VMs that are on RAID 0, I back up nightly to my unRAID machine using the built-in, you know, backup thing inside of Windows 2008 R2, the scheduler.
That's
and you
cool.
just point to your unRAID server.
Yeah. So, you know, they may go, you know, eventually those drives are going to, one of those drives is going to fail. I'm going to lose something, but I'll just have it to the night before. Just bring it back. Because there's nothing that is super critical on those VMs that are on that RAID 0. But I was worried that I would run into I/O problems like Jay mentioned, that, you know, with all those VMs on there, I'd have trouble.
Let me ask you, do you see any problem with running a pfSense router and running any other virtual machines on the same box? Do you see any problems with the router maybe choking because it, you know, for any problems at all?
Well, You know, I have resisted putting anything.
Because that's what I'm trying to figure out. Do I want to?
I've resisted putting anything else on that box that had the router on it. But it's more just a theory. You know what I had? I was worried that, actually not from an I/O standpoint, but from a stability. You know, if something went wrong and crashed it, or if I needed to update something and reboot it, I wanted that that thing completely separate. Now, if you had to, I don't think it'd be a problem because I'm looking at pfSense right now. And it's using, and I've got, you know, kids in the house, wife in the house, I'm doing this, plus some other things going on, and it's only using like 10% of the CPU. And it's probably not writing much to the hard drive at all. So, and pfSense, if you're not using some of the big packages like Snort, it's not going to, which is an intrusion detection, it's not going to use that much RAM either. So all that said, yeah, you can probably get away with it running other things on there. Untangle is a little bit more intensive on the CPU and the RAM. So if you're going to put Untangle and pfSense in the same box, you're going to need to, you know, put a little more power on that than you would just for pfSense.
What do you think is the minimum? Do you think a quad core is necessary for that?
If you're going to add in Untangle, yeah, I'd probably go quad core. Because I'd want to give Untangle two cores.
All right.
Those things are cheap now.
Yeah, AMD. You think I should go AMD and get away with it?
Well, you know, I think most people disagree with me. I know most of the guys on BYOB would disagree with me. But I, you know, for me, the price benefit is still with AMD. I'd rather go with AMD. You know, I can get a 6-core AMD for, you know, top of the line 3.3 gigahertz with the turbo 3.7 for like $180.
Right.
For 6 cores. I mean, that's not bad. Now, that's not going to compete with, you know, with the top end i7. But it's going to be a pretty good machine.
But we just said you don't really need the i7, right?
Yeah, not for something like this. You know, if you're doing a lot of CPU-intensive stuff, yeah, maybe you need that. But for pfSense Untangle, no, that's i7's overkill.
So what do you think on the AMD side? Because the Intel side makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, that's an easy Core i3, Core i5, Core i7. You know, you basically have three. You know, low-end, budget, middle for the average use, high-end, right, Core i7. And the prices are comparable, right? So, but I'm very unfamiliar with the AMD side. So what's the Core i3 equivalent on the AMD side right now?
Yeah, I'm not overly familiar. Maybe one of the other guys can help us. I'm not overly familiar with Intel, so I don't know the comparison. But basically, you got three on the AMD. You got the Athlon, you got the Phenom, and then you got the 6-core, which I think is a Phenom with 6 cores.
My switch or 6-core? I'm just going to look it up while you're... Which one do you have, the 6-core?
I have the 3 gigahertz 6-core.
And they just call it 6-core?
Yeah, it's AMD Phenom X6, I think is what it is. And I have that also on my broadcast server. I have the 6-core 3 gigahertz. And I think I told you before, Jim, that when I had the Athlon 4-core, whatever, that doing the show and broadcasting and all that, I was getting up to the 80% CPU utilization. When I went to the Phenom X6, 3 gigahertz, so about the same gigahertz, I think, is what it was. I'm now, with that same setup, getting somewhere in a 25% utilization. So it's
right. So that's the Phenom 2 X6, 3 gigahertz, 125-watt chip?
Yep.
That runs pretty warm?
I got the stock cooler on it. It runs fine.
It's okay. $160 free shipping on Newegg. So.
And that's for the what gigahertz?
So that's the 3 gigahertz.
Okay. Yeah, I think the top of the line is like a 3.3, and that's like 189.
3.2 is 169, 3.3, 190. Yeah, 189.
Yeah, because I have that in my wish list on Newegg. I have built a system of all the parts I wanted. The other thing I think helped with the broadcast server was going from DDR2 to DDR3, because my broadcast server did have DDR3, and I think some of the things like we're doing here, broadcasting a show, that RAM speed helped out a little bit.
All right, so does anybody know then the equivalent of this? So this.
Well, give me a model number. Give me a model number of this Phenom.
Like is 1090. Go with the 1075T.
Okay.
That would be the 3 gigahertz. That's the one you have, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I have so, in the broadcast. So on Passmark's CPU benchmark, it hits a 5800. It hits 5800 for a Passmark mark.
So how does that compare to an Intel? What does it match up with?
Well, let's see. Just under that is a Core i5-2310.
All right, so middle range.
And it goes for $240.
Like the i5 does?
Yeah, the i5. So it's like, what, $60, $80 more? Yeah, $80 more for the i5. And they, according to Passmark, they've got relatively the same benchmark.
I've seen some where it approaches the low end of the i7s. I mean, the top end of the i7s are the top of the line. I mean, there's nothing that touches them.
Well, there's some i7s that are like the 860. It's got a little bit better Passmark rating than the i7-860, but that's last generation's. So,
but what on the i5, Rich? What did you say its equivalent is? i5 what?
The 2310.
2310.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, 190.
Oh, it's 190?
It's right 190.
Now. 190.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So they're right there, same price.
Yeah, very well, $20, right, maybe?
Okay. Yeah, they get the wrong prices here on the benchmark.
Yeah, well, so I'm sure they're hard to keep up with. I mean, right. It's that's the Core i5 2310 Sandy Bridge, 2.9 gigahertz. This is great. 3.2 gigahertz turbo boost. I haven't seen a turbo boost reference in a while. 95 watts, so a little bit more energy efficient, maybe. $20 more, because we said 160, right? I said 159 for your chip.
No, I think you said for the 3.3 gigahertz, 3.3.
No, for your chip, the 3.0, right?
Oh, okay, yes.
160.
Okay.
And then this one is 190. So $30. About $30 difference. So
really
they're close. There's still a little premium for Intel at this point. And depends on what ecosystem you're in.
Yeah, that's a big difference, though. It's like a 95 water and a 125 water. So
for me, the other reason I stay AMD is that the whole family is AMD. So whenever I upgrade something, I just flip parts over to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I would the flip to Intel, I would have to break all that.
Okay.
And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, I like pulling for the underdog. That's why I'm a Microsoft fan.
You are an underdog guy.
Yeah. That's why you're a Microsoft. Microsoft is the underdog.
Because yeah.
That was fun.
Well, who's the top dog?
Well, you know.
Linux? PDP-11?
No, it would have to be, Apple. It's just, Apple, Google.
I've heard of them.
I couldn't put Apple in the top dog spot for desktop stuff.
No, because,
so like according to everybody else.
Yeah, according everybody to everybody
in the corporate
I talk
world
to,
uses Apple.
Yeah, everybody I talk to, like, must be like 90% of the market is Apple. I mean, that's the only news you ever hear about. You never hear, what's Microsoft come out with? Ooh, we got a new home server that we're not going to advertise.
What time
anywhere.
Mark are we at right now? I got to, mark this as like we got to X this all out here.
57. delete
everything from that point forward. Yeah.
That's all you see on TV and the movies is Apple hardware too.
Well,
it's a little sexier. I mean, it is some sexy hardware.
That's all marketing, though.
Oh, sure.
I mean, don't you cry every time you see Microsoft ad on TV? You think, this is such a great operating system. It really is. Windows 7 is such an improvement over XP. It's right on par with whatever Apple is running. And then they got the lamest. They try. I guess I got to say they try, but my goodness. They must be operating in a little island out there, their marketing for this product, because their marketing is just horrible. I cringe every time I see it.
I can't believe they can't do better. The largeness of Microsoft does not allow them to be trendy. And so it's got to go through too many channels. It's got to go through too many executives. It's got to have too many sign-offs. And this is where the Steve Jobs or the recently Steve Jobs model worked really well, because he controlled everything and he knew what was trendy and what wasn't. And he dictated what was going to work. And he just had an eye for that kind of stuff. And I think at Microsoft that gets lost. There's too many executives in the middle, too many guys that were probably programmers at one point in time and now are executives and don't have an eye for the art. who miss it. They miss the boat. They get too conservative. You know, they go into prevent defense. And there's not 1 ounce of prevent defense at Apple. And I think this is one of the things that's probably going to change now that Steve is gone, is that company will, you know, they're huge, right? They got all this cash in the bank. They've got a lot of money. The worst thing they can do right now is go into prevent defense and just think, okay, how do we not make a mistake, right?
Stop thinking too much. Yeah.
This is Microsoft's problem. After the antitrust deal, they went into a mode of how do we not make a mistake? And I think we all know the only thing prevent defense does is prevent you from winning. And so
absolutely.
That's what allows Apple to be as effective as it is there's one man at the top. There was one man at the top running the show. He was the dictator. And that always works.
So the question I have there is everybody, like you just said, everybody knows prevent defense prevents you from winning.
Right.
But, you know, to keep with the football analogy, every coach, every weekend goes to that defense.
I know.
And it's like, what, you know, everybody watching the show is saying the same thing is, what on earth are you thinking? Why are you going to prevent defense? You know, why is it Microsoft can't see, or do they see and they just are unable to do anything? Is it all Steve Ballmer? Because, you know, he could kick butt and take some names and make things happen. Or is he the problem? Or a part of the problem.
Well, being a Microsoft MVP.
Well, you don't have to answer. One of the other guys can answer because we can talk however we want. I'll answer my own question. He is absolutely the problem and should go. The problem is he will take the company down because of where he's at, the ownership he is, that no one right now I don't think has the guts to take him out. And he's not going to go willingly. But, you know, like you said, Rich, they have a lot of good products. They just fail to take advantage of them.
Yeah, I think they do. You know, there's a lot they could say. You know, Apple is a little closed system, a little closed environment for the most part, and Windows is wide open. I mean, you could accentuate that. The Mac heads, though, always pound on Windows because it's too wide open and you got all this crazy software that can crash you. And it's like, on the other hand, it's like, yeah. And so you only get to work with this software that Mac approves personally. And you don't get to try out anything that may be cool and works for you that you're willing to fiddle around with until you can figure out the configurations for, and you're willing to live with that. But on a Mac, it's totally different. You know, I mean, I don't know. They could do a lot better than what they're doing. And when they try to look cool, they look stilted. They look like they're trying. And it's so pathetic. You'd think that they could hire actors. You think you could write some scripts that would look natural and cool. How hard would that be? You know, and if you're looking at somebody's product, you're sitting there, you're a Microsoft guy going to approve or disapprove an ad, a commercial, or a group of people that are sitting there. Not one of you can figure out that this isn't a good ad. It's incredible that they let this crap come through. It just blows my mind. So, you know, that's just my thought about the ads. I mean, I'm going to still use Microsoft, and, you know, someday I'll buy an Apple computer when I can. But, you know, it's just a shame. You know, Microsoft brings on a lot of their own woes, and this is one of the ways they do it. So if that's a Steve Ballmer thing, if it's, you know, with Steve Ballmer in mind, we're like, okay, let's look at this. What would Steve Ballmer want? Then, yeah, you are shooting yourself in the foot, and maybe Steve needs to go.
Yeah, Jay, Rich, I often have that thought on somewhere along the line, somebody has got to have said, that is an awesome ad. You know, just like the Pinto, somebody along the way had to say, that is a great looking car. We can sell the crap out of those things. Like, that guy must have been smoking crack at the time, you know, to think that thing is good. You would think that somewhere along the line, somebody is going to say, you know, that's a stupid idea. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think what happens in some big companies is, especially if there's a dominating force at the top, is that it can stifle ideas below.
Apparently.
Well, but I think, you know, using the Pinto as an example, I mean, that had to go through a bunch of approvals, right? That idea, that design. And John, you look like you're dying to say something.
Did he own a Pinto?
No. I had read a lot about the Pinto, and I mean, the Pinto was a very good design. It was very well engineered. What had happened was that you might say the Green Eye Shade guys were, they found out that they could save a couple of bucks. Actually, I think it was less than a dollar, like 97 cents, by just excluding a bolt cover on a piece of hardware underneath the car. The engineers wanted to do it because it would protect the gas tank. Well, Ford actually, I think if you read the history of the Pinto and the Pinto fires and everything, Ford actually went, instead of just going and doing the thing, they paid some lawyers and some statisticians, and they figured, well, there'd only be a small number of gas tank fires, and if they paid...
This is a horrible story.
I know it is a horrible story, but what it is the engineers wanted to do it right, and some MBA...
Yeah.
Well, you might say some MBA smartasses that didn't know anything about technology or care.
Like accountants, you mean?
No, they're worse than accountants.
Hold on a second. As an accountant, I can tell you that while we may bring these things up, it ultimately is not our decision.
Yeah, well, I'm a CPA also, in addition to being an engineer, so I know your standpoint. But, I mean, what it was they made a business decision that they could pay out X million of dollars in insurance claims and still come out ahead financially by knocking out that one part.
Yeah.
So the engineers lost that vote. And then it turned out that when the information got out about their financial analysis, the jury said, well, screw you. We're going to charge you 10 times that. And
just like they should. They should punish them for that. You know, I think I made a mistake and when I said Pinto. What's the car that had the big bowl back window?
Oh,
like
the Edsel.
The fishbowl. No, not the Edsel.
GMC Packer.
Pacer.
That's what I meant to say, the Pacer. What idiot let that out on the showroom floor?
I like the Pacer.
That's a hot-looking car in its day.
Are you kidding me?
If I would have come in charge of the Gremlin.
Oh, good God. If I had come in charge of that company after that, everybody who was involved in that decision would have been fired.
But it had to get through several channels of approvals.
And I would have fired them all because they're too stupid to work here anymore.
So here's the other thing, though, that might have happened, right? So those approvals, had that system gotten so greased that somebody just, okay, fine. I'm not even keeping my eye on that ball anymore. And so I don't approve that car. And someone should have... Okay, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
We all know that. So should somebody have checked off on that and said, having a big old glass window in the back and a bubble-looking car isn't a great idea. Although maybe they were trying to be trendy. I mean, maybe that was just one of those trendy things.
Yeah. They were.
You know? And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not, right?
Well, the problem I saw with the Pacer and the Gremlin and some other AMC products was the reliability of the components. And I mean, with the Gremlin, my first car was a Gremlin just because it was cheap, and I was very poor when I got out of college. But I had a friend that he had three Gremlins, and he told me, he said, well, at 10,000 miles, this is going to go wrong. And by God, he was right. I was I would ask him, okay, what's going to happen at 20, you know, and he'd tell me, and that's what would fail. And even the radio in the car was a piece of crap. The output transistor was underpowered and the thing failed. And I said, well, hell, I'm not, you know, you go to AMC, they want to replace it. So I pulled it out of the car and took it into our electronics shop and tested it. And just replace the transistor. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Didn't GM in the last decade or so admit that they intentionally did planned obsolescence, where they intentionally made parts weaker than they should be so they can keep the maintenance side of the business running?
Yep.
And I think you know, they admitted it, and I think Ford and Chrysler probably did the same thing.
Yeah. Because I took a DVD player that was in a Jeep to a shop, and I was talking to the guy, and I said, well, do you see any cars here? You ever get any cars in to work on from Toyota? He said, no. He said, everything we get's Chrysler, Ford, and GM.
I should say that they've stopped At least I say they have. They've stopped doing that planned obsolescence
thing. I think Ford's gotten a lot better, to be honest with you.
I think Ford has seen the light. I don't know about GM.
I think that quality gap has gotten much closer.
Yeah. Wow. How do we get all the way out on automobile warranty? That's a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about VMs.
It's Rich's random podcast.
It is a random.
Wait, did you say VM or VW?
Whoa. Yeah, let me tell you about VW.
All right, guys, 5-minute warning. We got a hard stop at 4 o'clock Central, 5 Eastern, so 5 o'clock warning.
What happened to the 6-hour marathon?
We've all got things today? To do today.
Yeah, I know.
I
was going to have to cut out at 4 o'clock anyway.
Yeah, sounds like a good stop anyway. So I don't know. Maybe this is a good place to cut it off, Rich. 5 minutes sure. Probably isn't long enough for one of us to have any final comments and anything we
definitely, if you've got anything to say, let it out. We can run it past 5 minutes if it's something you want to get out.
Okay, I have something real quick. Did you guys get your microphones in? Because I just heard that on the podcast from Thursday night, I thought.
Which one?
I thought two or three of you guys bought. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So we all, they're all here. See, there's mine.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's
like the space station. See the little solar panel head?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. Nice.
Not quite as sweet as a Drobo, but pretty nice.
Wow.
Nice. That is really
shameless.
Cool.
The Yeti shameless brothers.
I'd also like to point out that I said the full fauché Friday at work, and people thought I had lost my mind.
Yeah, my office didn't think it was nearly as funny as we did.
Yeah, right. They're like, what?
Right.
I did talk to Mike, and he was okay with it. So it will become a part of the home server culture before you know it. People will be saying the full
fauché. It's already slipped into some of my speech at work, too, and people have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
Exactly. You're like, you mean the full fauché? But we're spelling that a little bit different, aren't we? Aren't we spelling that?
I spelled it phonetically so that people would, because if you just put up, like it looks, people will say fauché or something like that.
Right.
They won't give it the French pronunciation.
No, they don't. They won't give it the French.
Yeah, I'm doing a report on some outages, and I said, well, I told my boss, I said, I'm going to do the full fauché on this. And he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
You know something, we need to actually put this in the Urban Dictionary if we're going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we can stick his – I think we can put a last name in there. We just can't say the full Mike Fauché.
Well, put his picture in there.
No, see, that's, yeah.
Then we're going to do the full
but
shake.
I don't think we can do that. I think there's actually a rule that you can't.
Oh, okay.
You cannot, because, you know.
Well, the way you spelled it won't work the way you spelled it?
Well, it will work if I just do like F-O-S-H-A-Y, which is the phonetic.
Yeah.
Right. But, what about a Wikipedia article?
A Wikipedia article. Right. Interesting.
They'll
sounds
probably
like
kick
work,
it out.
Jake. Sounds like more work. You know what? I'm going to pass this over to Jim. Jim, there you go. That's in your inbox.
The fullfauché.com is available, by the way. I think I'm going to buy that. And what we'll do is it'll be a site where people can post examples of when they've used the full fauché. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, that could be huge.
Have you ever really gone off and taken your wallet and just said, you know what? Let's just crack you wide open, baby. And get whatever we want today.
Well, it's time for the full
three of it. Yeah.
Well, Mike Howard had that was a perfect example of the full fauché. It was 2 weeks ago, right, with the microphone?
Right.
Yeah, and do you regret doing it?
No, I like it, yeah.
And you got everything now, right? You got the arm.
I do, and I even had to go buy another headset today, so add that to the cost.
You're trying a couple different. Now, if you would have done the full fauché on the headphones, you would have bought both the on-ear and over-the-ear at the same time.
See,
really what the full fauché is when you buy two similar items.
Absolutely, because I did have to buy two pop filters.
Right.
You know, so that's the full fauché, but that's small. I should have bought two.
Technically, it's not the full fauché. That was just a mistake, and you're probably ready to throw the other one in the trash can.
Yeah, I am. You know, I should have bought two shock mounts to test them out.
Right. Yeah. That and is technically the full fauchet.
How would I know this is the best arm unless I bought more of them to try out?
Two or three at a time.
It's a more expensive arm that you could probably get.
So I kind of did a half fauchet.
Okay. It sounds like an Olympic dive. You know,
that's just
going to do a half fauchet and then followed by a double twist and then a full fauchet feet first into the pool. Let's see what happens. Here we go.
I aspire just to have a half fauchet system here.
So, Rich, maybe that should be a segment in the podcast each week. Is someone has to or someone should come on and talk about how they.
I think they may. Anyway, yeah, we could actually make it a full fauchet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I got you.
Or people could rate it. How many parts of a fauchet is it? You know.
Yeah. So we got to come up with it. It's not going to be eggs. It could be stars because everybody loves stars. Yeah. But what else could it be? It could be SSDs, right? How many SSDs is that? You know, like 1, 2, 3, 4 SSDs. Little SSDs.
Oh, God. Microphones would probably be the little microphones that you know.
Sitting sideways.
One to five. Yeah.
Two, three, four.
We'll have to wait. We'll have to have him weigh in on this.
He may have some fauchet input on this.
He might.
Yeah. If we ever get him back on, we need to find a way to just bring it up and random and talk. Just like I did tonight.
Right. Yeah. You can't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm showing 4:02. So
it's quitting time. Guys, thanks for coming out. We'll do this again next week. I think, Rich, we're back on Sunday again. Or are we canceling next week?
Sunday. No, it's Sunday because I got a jam to go to.
Right. Okay, so Sunday, three same time,
jam.
Right? 3 p.m.
Freeway jam.
Yep. 3 Central, 4 Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. We'll do it all again. I'll be here. I'm going down to Kansas City to see my son on Saturday and then back up here for Sunday. So it'll be good. So we'll catch you guys back here next week. Jay, we'll see you next week maybe?
Absolutely. I'll be here. No problem.
That headset is great, by the way, for $20.
Right, $20.
Walmart, $20. Anybody, so if you're going to come on this podcast, Walmart, and you don't have a headset, Walmart, $20. All right, guys, have a great week, and I'll see some of you during the week, but we'll be back here next week for Rich's Random Podcast Generator.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, bye.
Take care, guys.